Well, let's go ahead and read that verse one more time. Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, Prince of Peace is the last name predicted by this famous verse. And it gives a synopsis of all the other names. It gives a synopsis of all these others. His peace meets the human condition in all of the dimensions, in every dimension of need that we have since the fall of man, since the beginning in the garden when we fell. Well, so here it is. Like, when we went astray, he's the Wonderful Counselor to come to us like a good shepherd and to lead us back into the peaceful fold of God's love. And when Satan, sin, and death had disrupted our lives, he is the mighty God, the mighty God. And he became a human mighty prince to defeat those enemies and give us his victorious peace. And then we look at the idea that at this time of year, some people are really lonely, and they're in despair a little bit. Well, when we are beset by loneliness or despair or many other things, he's the Everlasting Father who comforts us with the peace of fellowship in his family of love, his eternal family. For all those reasons, and more, he is the Prince of Peace. And the peace brought by the Christ child touches every aspect of our lives. One of the huge areas of need is in the emotional realm, in our emotions. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace over our emotions. The Christ child came to bring peace that passes understanding. We hear that in Philippians chapter 4:7, where it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And Jesus is a royal prince, but he's not royal because of his divinity. He is royal because he is the anointed king. He is the anointed. He is a human that has became human and was anointed as a king to defeat our enemies and to be the Christ. That's what the word anointed means. So we look at all these different kinds of enemies that we have of our hearts and our minds. And one of these enemies is discouragement. And Jesus knew that we would experience that, discouragement. So he said in John 6:33, "I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace." Peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Well, he told us, and we're having it. There's a lot of trouble in this world. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Are you discouraged sometimes with what the world throws at you? And he's throwing it around all over the place. The world is throwing around a lot of different things that cause trouble. And we can get discouraged because of that. This is what Jesus, in another words, is what he said. Take your heart in one hand and take my hand in the other. Because I have overcome the world. And in me, you are victorious with a peace that passes understanding. That's exactly what that verse is talking about. It has to be in a relationship with him, a close relationship with him, that you're holding hands, not just holding hands, he's in our heart. He's inside of our heart. So we can have that peace in him. Another enemy is worry. How many have not worried this last year? No hands. I don't see any hands. Well, it's a common enemy, and Jesus knew that we would be anxious, and so he said in Matthew chapter 6 in Sermon on the Mount, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin? Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Besides despair, discouragement, worry, there's so many other emotional states that are enemies to peace, you know, enemies of our peace. Envy, bitterness, apathy, anger, so many of them. And it's a long list that keeps on going on. We can think about so many emotions that we go through that are enemies of peace. But Jesus gave us the answer to all of them when he said this: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. This Prince of Peace is the King, and we must let him rule in our hearts as King. His kingdom, right in here. And this Prince of Peace is not only the King, but he is righteous, he is holy. And we must let him give us his attitude. His way of thinking must become our way of thinking. And then we will have that peace. The peace brought by the Christ child brings every emotion into the peace that passes understanding. But we must be open to that Christ child to receive him. And furthermore, the Prince of Peace, Jesus is the Prince of Peace for our wills. You know, our emotions, we don't have a lot of control of our emotions. They sort of come and then we just have to deal with them. But our will is our choice. The choices that we make. And the Christ child came to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Now, the translation that I read and many other translations have rendered that in another way that really flips it around. And it does pose a problem. It says, peace on earth to men of goodwill. Peace on earth to men of goodwill. And that is a problem, because how do we become people of goodwill when our will has been sort of bent in directions of selfishness or what, in order to gain that peace? Because you have to have that goodwill to have the peace. So that's a problem. But God's way of obtaining a goodwill is called, big word, well, contrition. Contrition. Now, what does that mean? The description of it is given in Isaiah chapter 57. For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will guide him and restore comfort to him, creating praise on the lips of the mourners in Israel. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord. I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. What a contrast, the contrite heart and the wicked heart. The will that is humble, low before God, and the will that is haughty and wicked and does wicked things. Peace comes when our wills are in tune with his will. And that only happens when we have a contrite and lowly spirit. And that's why this is what Jesus wants us to have. He was that way with his Father. He was totally humble with his Father, saying, not my will, but thine be done. We need to say that same thing. Get our wills in tune with Christ's will. Pride and peace do not mix. Pride and peace do not mix. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, wants to give us his peace. He wants us to receive his peace, but it will cost us our pride. With contrite hearts, we must kneel at the foot of the cross. So he can transform us. Only then can we receive the peace that passes understanding. And finally, Jesus is the Prince of Peace for our bodies. Our bodies. How many seem to have tired bodies? Mine is getting tireder and tireder, you know? So, Jesus is the Prince of Peace for our bodies. This is a different concept. As the Christ child's first coming brought peace, so will his second coming bring peace. As the peace that he brought as the first time in the first advent, which brought peace to our hearts through salvation, you know? But there's a second coming. And it's very interesting that believers, and in the lives of believers, these two advents, these two comings, are sort of replicated, or they're duplicated, paralleled in a sense, echoed, if you want to say that. And how it is this. Our personal advent on earth by physical birth. Now think about that. How did you come here? You know, when I was a labor and delivery nurse, I've seen thousands and thousands of babies born. You know, it was so beautiful. Those little, sweet, beautiful babies are physical birth and so hopeful. You know, it brings hope to a lot of people. Full of promise. But years rapidly come and go, and our bodies, so strong and able and so supple and mobile, so ready for life's adventure, get worn out by life's journey. But those who receive the spiritual new birth by repentance and faith in this Prince of Peace will also experience a second advent. We will also have a second advent. It will be a homecoming. It'll be a coming, an advent, but it'll be a homecoming when we get to heaven. And it'll be a homecoming to a new heaven and a new earth. A new earth for which we will need new bodies. You know, whatever our poor bodies have lost and on their way from birth to old age will be more than restored by physical bodily resurrection. You know, the R.I.P. on tombstones, it means rest in peace, R.I.P. We get that idea of rest. We get that idea of rest from our biblical hope that's listed or mentioned in Revelation chapter 14. It says this, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." They will rest from their labor. Rest in what? In peace. You know? Now, the body in the grave is one thing, but our peace is a continuity of body, soul, spirit. You know? If our bodies could talk, if they could speak, they would probably say, yes, it's the second advent that I long to see. I want to see that second advent. We've got new spirits inside. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Where our soul is being transformed into the image of Christ. That's wonderful. But what about our bodies? We're still waiting, aren't we? And our bodies are longing for this. And it's really interesting. Our body would say that because this is what it says in Romans chapter 8. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. All of creation, not just our bodies, but all of creation. But our bodies are part of that creation. So it says, but we ourselves in our bodies, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. And remember that word sons is for everybody. Jesus is the Son of God, and we become sons of God, whether you're daughters of the Lord or not. You're all sons. The adoption of sons. But what is the adoption of sons? We don't have a definition. There's many theological people that tell me what it means, but here is what it says it is. The adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. And then it goes on to say in the next verse, for in this hope we have been saved. the completeness of our salvation is in resurrection, where we get our bodies back again. How many like their bodies? You're at home right now in your bodies. You've lived with these bodies all your life. You like them. They're your bodies. And you're going to lose it. But you're going to get it back. Better than you ever knew. In resurrection. That's wonderful. Our bodies will not be at peace until the great resurrection day, when the Prince of Peace returns. So the peace brought by the Christ child touches every aspect of our lives, our emotions, our wills, our bodies. His peace impacts the entire being, our human being. It impacts all of us. And the power of His peace will finally transform our whole body, soul, and spirit. And at that moment, at this very moment, we are being transformed. We are being transformed. God is working His peace to fit us for heaven, where we will join Him in His magnificent and eternal reign as Prince of Peace. And that should make us all want to say, wow. Actually, it should make us want to pray the last prayer in the Bible. Do you know what the last prayer in the Bible is? Even so, come Lord Jesus. It makes us look forward to that day. But while we wait for that great day of His return, let's continue to say happy birthday to the child of Bethlehem and Merry Christmas to each other. Let's pray. Father God, thank You again for this day that we're anticipating tomorrow, and there's much festivities going on. There are many things that are happening. Lord, help us not to lose sight of Your coming, Your first coming, and what it meant, the impact of it, that You came to die on the cross so that we could have that peace within us, and that Your resurrection is the anticipation that we have for our resurrection. Bodies like Your own, immortal, and that will never again have pain or sorrow. I pray, Father God, that You will help us to keep our faith strong at this season and throughout the whole year as we look for the new year coming. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.